Let me tell you this, it's an honor for Pastor Dan to even let somebody share his pulpit. And so we assistant pastors don't speak a lot from here. But when we get a chance to address our family, I have to pray a lot and say, Lord, what can I give people from the Word, people that have known me for 40 years? I don't have anything else to say. But I've recently noticed some things going on in our family. And I've got a burden for what's going on in our family. Today, I want to share a passage of Scripture with you that you all know. But I don't think I've ever heard a pastor preach on this one verse. I'm only going to teach one verse today. You and I have heard, and we've heard pastors eloquently preach the verse prior and the verses after. But I don't know that I've ever really heard a message just on this one verse. But I think this one verse fits where we are today, and I want to share it with you. But before I turn you to Philippians, I want us for just a few moments to consider a historical account that happened in the Old Testament. And before I even go there, I want to ask you some questions. For instance, have you, don't answer it out loud, I'll give you a chance for that in a few minutes, but have you ever felt alone? Like there's no one to help you? Have you ever in your life felt totally discouraged? So much so you felt like maybe I just can't go on. You ever felt like it doesn't matter how hard I try, nothing goes right? Have you ever come to the place in your... I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to our family here. Have you ever come to the place where you thought your prayers were not being answered? Why should I pray anymore? The older I have become, I told my wife I no longer have birthdays. She does, but I no longer have any birthdays. So she's getting older, but I'm not. Now that I am at this ripe age, I am seeing many people, born-again Christians, that are struggling with issues in life. Discouragement, despair, hardship, health issues, whatever. Life sometimes stinks. Amen? Two of you agree with me. Sometimes it gets tough. Well, when I read the Bible, Jeannie knows this, and people in my Sunday school class know this, that I always have to, I ask myself the question, why did God put this in the Bible? The Bible says that all Scripture is inspired by God. The word, that's Timothy. The word inspired means it was literally God breathed. God breathed every word to the authors of the Bible. He told them what to put in this book. Every word comes from God, the Holy Spirit. So when you read a passage of Scripture, or you read an account or a historical event in the Old Testament, I wonder, why did God put that story there? What is it He wants me to learn from that? Or you go to the New Testament, like we're going to get to one verse here, and you go to the New Testament and you say, what's the meaning of that? How does that apply to me? Why did God put that there? The Bible says all Scripture is inspired by God, through the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching us, for correction, for reproof. It's profitable. His Word is profitable for you and me, not just to read it, but for you and I to read it and understand what He's trying to say to us. When you go back 2,000 years in history, there might be another 1,000 stories that could have got put in the Holy Scripture. But why did God give us specific passages and accounts? You all know, because most of you here have been here a long time. And even you young people and boys and girls know of this story. But I want to reference it before we get to that one verse in the New Testament. And you see, that's the life story of Joseph. What do we know about Joseph? Well, I years ago did a series in prayer meeting on Joseph, and it took us many, many months to get through that. And I don't have a month's worth of time right now. But let me tell you this. We find it's in Genesis. And if you've not read through this, go read it. It starts in Genesis chapter 37 and it goes through chapter like 49 or 47. And it gives us the life account of Joseph. And Joseph, it says his father loved him more than all of his brothers. Hello, Dad. That's not a good thing to do. But the Bible says that. That was his favorite. And he let it be known to the other brothers, he's my favorite. I love him more than you guys. And how do we know that? Because he gave him a coat of many colors. I researched that. What is that? That coat of many colors, some say it's a sign of authority. But it's not a sign of authority. It's a sign of favor. I favor him more than the others. Whoa. Because of that, we know that his brothers loved him, right? They hated him. They wanted to kill him. And he was 17 years old. Anybody hear that age? Nope, you're all older, huh? Close to it. He was 17 years old. And his brothers wanted to kill him. They put him in a pit. They took him out of that pit and they sold him to slave traders. He was taken to a foreign land and he was sold into the hand of a man named Potiphar, who was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, a mighty man, 17 years old. Some would say, well, he deserved it. You know, he had these dreams and he told his brothers about the dreams. And the dreams were very prophetic. And I don't have time to go into it. You read the passage. But I think Joseph gets a bad rap sometime because some commentator says, well, he should have kept the dreams to himself and not told his brothers. Baloney, if I had a dream and it was something like he dreamed, I would have told you all too. Man, I had a dream. Here was the dream. And Joseph, I don't see anything in Scripture where he did anything wrong. But he got thrown in a pit. He got sold to slave traders. He got sold as a slave. And then this woman lied about him and had him put in prison. That's a whole message all of itself. My goodness, Potiphar, he knew what he was doing. Do you know what the penalty was for what she accused Joseph of? It was your head. You were killed for that. I think this man Potiphar knew his wife was lying. So at least what he did is he put him in prison instead of killing him. Because the Bible teaches us that Potiphar loved Joseph and he put him in charge of his whole house and his wife was a liar. So here the kid, 17 years old, he just did what was right. And somebody lied about him, now he's in prison. And there were things, and the story goes on about what happened in prison, but the fact is he was forgotten for 3 years. And we know he became the second most powerful man in all the known world, only under Pharaoh himself. God gave them that power of position, that powerful position. My question is this. Oh, by the way, when the famine came, Joseph was the one that doled out all the food to the people. His family came from far away to him because they were going to die. No food. And they came to Joseph. Didn't even know it was Joseph. And he gave them food. He actually saved their lives. Yes or no? He was their Savior. By the way, you read that beautiful whole story and passage. And what is it God wants us to get? One of the things you can't ever miss is that Joseph is a type or symbol of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. You see, he was in the pit. He was hated. He was despised. He was forgotten. He was rejected. But he became their Savior. Wow, what a picture of Jesus. But that's all there, and you all know that already, so why in the world am I talking about that? Because I'm asking you the question, what if you were Joseph? What if you were Joseph? Would you have been angry? Are there Christians that get so discouraged and say, God, where are you? What do you think he was thinking in the pit? What do you think in 3 years in prison? When this lady tried to, and she lied about him. What would, God, what did I do wrong? Where'd you go, God? And I'm seeing people all over that are discouraged and wondering, where are you, God? I don't think they're here today, but I had a teenage girl, a member of the family, is a member of our church, weeks ago, talked with me. She goes to a public school. She's a born-again Christian. She's doing well in school. I think she maintains a testimony. And she said to me, Pastor Reese, she said, most of my friends are not Christians. Matter of fact, I don't know anyone that's close to me that's a Christian. But she said almost every one of them are depressed and discouraged. And they're on some kind of medication. Are you listening to me, you teenagers? This is for you. Do you know the number one cause of death for teenagers today is not a car accident? It's not cancer. Do you know what it is? It's suicide. Because they're so discouraged. Do you think Joseph never got discouraged? By the way, could there be Christian, born-again Christian teenagers that are here today and they're distraught and they're discouraged? If you don't think there are teenagers like that, then you're not alive. And what about adults? Wow, I'm not even through my introduction. How would you feel? My question, is this you? What's besetting you? Where'd you go, God? How come this is happening? Why aren't you answering my prayers? Now, turn with me. I think it may be on the screen, but turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 14, as I read, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, the Apostle Paul writes, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That's the one verse. Now, if you have your Bibles open, it's not on the screen, but if you have your Bibles open, I have heard message after message after message on verse 10, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Because you know what kind of power that took to raise Jesus from the dead? I want to have that kind of power, that I could really intimately get to know Jesus Christ and that I would have the same power. Wow, I've heard messages. Have you heard messages on that? I have. And then you go to the verses after it. Brethren, I count now myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I'm reaching forward to what's ahead. I've heard so many messages. You can't rest on your laurels. You forget the things that are... But I don't know that I've ever heard a message simply on verse 12. And this is what I want to give you today. Now, let me say this to all of you. man, I hate to say kids, so I'll say to everybody here, I want you to memorize. See, I'm a teacher, I'm not a preacher. I want you to know three words and take away three words. I'm going to give you the word. I'm going to tell you what it means. I'm going to ask you to repeat it. And when we're done today, I'm going to give you a quiz. So you got to learn three words. How many are ready? All eight of you. Wow, I'm glad I got you with me. Here we go. Let's look at this verse again. Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I highlighted it in yellow. You may want to underline it. I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended by Jesus Christ. Here's the first word I want you to get. It's the word perceive. Perceive. Now, some of you 10-year-olds are going to say, what's perceive? Thank you for asking. I'm going to tell you. Some of you 60-year-olds might say, what's perceived? So I'm going to tell you. The word perceive means to understand or to discover or to discern. So the word I want you to remember today when you go away, the first one is what? I can't hear you. It's what? I still can't hear you. One more time. It's perceive. And perceive means to, get this, understand. Okay, say it with me. Perceived means to. One more time. Perceive means to. Now, you think you got that? Because that's on the quiz coming up afterwards. Perceive means to understand. What is it? I want you to perceive or to understand what this verse is talking about. What it's telling you and me, not just the church in Philippi. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for teaching us. 1 Timothy. Now, we all have heard this at verses before and after, but not this one. Matthew Henry says this. We need to understand our grace comes from our being apprehended by Jesus Christ. Our grace comes. Oh, so many of the songs that were sung today were all about grace. Grace is something we get we don't deserve. Let me say this to you. You don't deserve to be a Christian. None of you here deserve to be a Christian. I don't deserve to be a Christian. You couldn't earn it. You couldn't buy it. It's God's grace. What does Ephesians tell us? For by grace, whose grace? God's grace. He reached out and He saved you. He apprehended you. Matthew Henry said, it's not our laying hold of Him. It's His laying hold of us. You see, Paul knew that he was apprehended by Christ. Now, some of you won't like this. You're going to think I'm way out there. But if you go study Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us, you go read it, it's the first couple of verses, it tells us that we, Christians, were chosen by God. You know what that means? I'm not asking you to really raise your hands, but I could. How many of you are born again Christians? Do you know what? If you are, God chose you. You didn't choose Him. He chose you. I know what I'm going to be accused of. And I'm not going there because I got to get through this message. Read Ephesians 1. Just read it. And I'm not what you think I am. Just read it. And then in 1 Peter 1:5 it says, not only did He choose you to be a Christian, but in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 it says He sustains us and we are kept. We are kept by His mighty power. Wow. You see, when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He literally adopted you. There's a whole series of messages we could preach on the adoption of the believer. But when you accepted Christ as your Savior, He adopted you and He placed you into His family. Amen? And that's why I can say you and I are brothers and sisters, because if you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, we're all brothers and sisters because we're a part of the same family. That's the grace of God. But that's something He did. He apprehended me. He apprehended you. Now here's the question. Have you ever considered the why? Why did He save you? I've been here long enough. I know when some of you accepted Christ as your Savior. There's somebody sitting here, I could tell you when I saw them walk down the aisle and pray and accepted Christ. Now you're part of the family of God. What Paul's talking about here is, hey, we need to consider, why did God save me? Did God save you because you're so pretty? My wife would have made it, I would have failed. Did God... Amen, thank you, Tom. You can leave. This is being live streamed, Tom. Did God save you or me because of our great talents? Because we could expound, or because we're smarter than somebody else? Because we're gifted? Let me just say this. You know what? God doesn't need me. He didn't save you because He needed you. But He did apprehend me. He brought me into His family as He did you other believers. Here's this. Why? I want you to understand, just like Joseph understood, God has a plan and a purpose for you if He apprehended you and brought you to Himself. He's got something He wants you to do for Him. He has a plan. I wonder if Joseph, you're saying, God, why? God, what? What's going on? You been there? Remember this, God has a plan. He apprehended you. Paul's prayer in this whole passage was trying to find out what the plan was. Now, the first word I gave you that you needed to learn was what? Perceive. And that means what? Some of you are with me. The rest of you flunked the class. Here we go. The second word that I want you to have is to pursue. Is to pursue. You see, in this verse 12, not as though it already attained, either we're already perfect, but there's the word pursue. In the King James, it is, I follow after. Well, in the New King James, in the ESV, in the NASB, it all comes out, not just follow after, but it is, I press on. I press on. The words, I follow after, in the original, in the Greek, you know when Paul wrote, I don't know if he was an athlete himself or not, but he always uses illustration of athleticism. Whether it's running a race, any of you ever run track? In a different lifetime, I used to run track. And I'll tell you what, you give your all. You give everything you got to get to that finish line, to beat that person. You're going to give all you have. I was just in Denver, and I was watching the national finals of wrestling competition in college level. And my son-in-law's a wrestler, and he was making us watch it. No, he was watching it, and I was watching with him. Do you know that they say the most strenuous sport that there is wrestling? Because it's so many minutes at a time, 100% of your strength against 100% of somebody else's strength. It takes all your energy. That's this word, pursue. It's when in the King James it says to follow after, but it speaks of being aggressive, energetic. It's an energetic endeavor. Wow, it means to give all you have, to strive with all your might. Now look at this verse. What is Paul saying? He's saying, I am striving with all my might that I might what? That I might apprehend. What is that? Apprehend means to go after. It means to grab onto something, to get a hold of something. just came from Denver. My son-in-law has a Rottweiler. I don't know that I could get hold of him, but he could sure get hold of me. They also have a little dog about this big. And I tell you what, when you don't want that dog to go out the door, I can apprehend that dog. One hand, pick it up, and there it is. I got it. I don't know that I could apprehend the Rottweiler. I could tell him to get back, but I don't think I could pick him up and grab on and hold on to it. That's the word apprehend. Paul says in this verse, with all my might, I want to grab onto. I want to gather it. I want to hold it. What? Wow. I want to get a hold of the reason God got a hold of me. I want to know what it is. I want to hang on to it. King James, that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended. The New King James, I may press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. What does all that mean? What is this verse saying to you and to me? Here's what it is. Why did God save me? You know, there are some people here. I can remember walking down the aisle and getting saved. But let me tell you something. Just because you prayed a prayer and accepted Christ as your Savior does not end your Christian relationship. Because now I can get in heaven. I'm there. I've made it. There's a reason God saved you. And each one of us here, boys and girls, young men and ladies, singles, people in their 20s and 30s, 50s and 70s. God has a plan, as He did for Joseph. And He has a purpose for your Christianity, for your Christian life. I'll never forget a young man when I was working as a youth pastor in Muskegon, Michigan about 200 years ago. He was about that tall. I was also a coach in a school and basketball coach. And this guy was a Christian. He was in my youth group. But back then I talked to him about once you're saved, his name is Nelson, you get to a place in your Christian life where you say, Lord, I'm all yours. After what you did for me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. And because he was struggling with so much in his Christian life, and he'd do well and then he'd fail, and he'd do well and he'd fail. And I said, have you ever talked to God about that? Giving your life to Him completely. And he called me coach, and he says, Coach, I could never do that. I said, why not? I said to him, you know what, as a Christian, if you don't come to that next step in your spiritual life, you're going to hit a wall and you're not going to go any further. You got to get to the place where you apprehend. You get the reason that He saved you. And you say, I'm all yours, God, I'll do it. That's what this verse is about. And you know what young Nelson said to me? We were down in the basement in the youth room. And it was he and I after church one Sunday night. And he said, Coach, I could never do that. I said, why? He said, he muffled. He says, I hate bugs and I hate snakes. I said, what? I hate bugs and I hate snakes. That's what I did. What are you talking about? And he says, just as sure as I know it, he said, Coach, if I prayed that, he'd make me go be a missionary and I hate bugs and I hate snakes. And I said, Nelson, you're never going to grow spiritually until you come to that decision. And I said, and by the way, God's not going to call you to do anything you can't do. He's not going to force you to do that. Wow. What was the first word I gave you? Perceive. Means what? The second word I gave you was to pursue, which means what? Follow after or go after. Now let me say that. Now some Bible scholars say that the reason Christ apprehended us, a lot of Bible scholars, if you look at your commentaries, because I don't want you to come and say I was so terribly wrong, But they'll say that's sanctification. That means when Christ accepted us as Savior, He wanted us to become more Christ-like every day. I believe that's true. But what I propose to you today to consider is just as God had a plan and a purpose for Joseph, He also has a plan and a purpose for you. He is always there. He never left Joseph. He'll never leave you. He adopted you. He has a plan and a purpose and a place for you. I didn't know if I'd share this, but I know of a little girl that was adopted when she was 2 days old. She never knew her birth mother or daddy. As a little girl growing up, sometimes she wondered. Knew she was adopted, but where's my real mom? Why'd she give me up? As a young child, she went to church and accepted Christ as her Savior. Not until she was 40 years old. This lady got a phone call. And on the other end of the line, someone said, "I think I might be your sister." She found out she had a number of siblings. And these siblings all their life have heard from their mom that she had, because she was 16 or 18 years old when she had this baby out of wedlock and she gave it up for adoption. And they found their sister. She also found out what a terrible life her brothers and sisters lived with her birth mother, father, then the second dad, and how those men abused them and what happened to them. And when this 40-year-old woman met her family, oh, the tears flowed. Because she found she had brothers and sisters, but many of them had lived a life of drugs and alcohol. Some had never been in a church hardly in their life except for a wedding or a funeral. They knew not Christ. Let me tell you this. That 40-year-old woman who was snatched away from that family when she was 2 days old was able at the age of 40 to 43 or 4 to share the gospel with all of her brothers and sisters. And many of them accepted Christ as her Savior. I told my wife, "You are a modern day Joseph. You were spared from being raised in that family. And all along, when you didn't even know it as a teenager, wondering why, wondering where, wondering how, all these, and sometimes maybe being upset because it wasn't your real mom, whatever, God had a plan for you. And you became their Savior." Many of those today are walking with the Lord. That two-day-old baby, adopted baby, was my wife. God had a plan. And finally, let me give you the third word. I know I'm over my time. The third word is prophet. You say, "I don't see the word prophet in that verse." No, you won't. But let me say this. The first word was perceived. Understand. I want you to understand this verse. The second one was pursue. We got to go after it. We got to find out, why did God save us? And the third word is prophet. Wow. Verse 14 said, "I pressed toward the mark, the high calling of God." Let me say this. I quote Dr. Lehman Strauss, who's now in heaven, a great Bible teacher. I got to hear him speak years ago. He said this: "I do not believe there is anything that will compare with the realization that we have lived out the great purpose for which we were redeemed." Someday in heaven, you and I are going to be with the Savior. According to Matthew 25:21, there's a passage there that he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Someday we're going to see our, please don't take this as being sacrilegious, just relational, but we're going to look at our daddy in heaven. And we're going to praise Him and thank Him for bringing us home. But what a day it's going to be to know that we did what He wanted us to do. Get the picture? Have you considered the reason that God saved you? Are you, as Paul did diligently, trying to do what Christ wants you to do? You say, oh yeah, every day I try to be a good Christian. I'm not talking about being a good Christian. I'm talking about taking that next step of your faith or renewing it because life is so busy. And I don't care if you're a teenager or if you're 80 years old. Life is tough all around. But beyond the toughness and the difficulty, remember this, God has a plan and a purpose for you at the age of which you're at right now. Why did God save you and not the next person? Because He's got something He wants you to do. Have you considered that? Have you ever said, Lord, I want to help me to find out what it is You want me to do. Maybe what He wants you to do is just to train these boys to love God. And maybe that's His purpose for you right now. And maybe His purpose for you is to love an ugly husband. I don't know. I had to throw that in there though. Have you considered? And if you haven't, are you willing? Never heard a message from verse 12 before in my life. Paul said, I want to know. I want to grab. I want to wrap my arms around the reason that Jesus saved me. And then I want to go do it. That's verse 12. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time together. And Lord, I know that I'm talking to a lot of Christian people. If there's someone here or listening that's not saved, they've never accepted You, Lord, they need to understand that You love them with an everlasting love. And You want them to ask to be their Savior. But Lord, I'm concerned about people here that I love and know. And some of them are struggling in different stages of their life. And they're going through some difficulties, Lord. And they need Your help. Help them to understand, just like Joseph did. I'm going to keep doing what's right. Help them to know You still have a plan for them. Help them to live it out. To do what You want them to do. And Lord, I just want our people to go away knowing that You're in control. I want those that are discouraged and those that are struggling to know that You still have a plan and a purpose for them. I want them to consider Joseph and then what the Apostle Paul said. Lord, I just pray You'd bless them now. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hold it. I got to give a quiz. I told you I would. There were three words. The first word was what? Perceive, and that means to what? And the second word is pursue, and that means to follow after. And the third word is profit. And wow, the Bible talks about rewards in heaven. Don't think He doesn't. It's there.